Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for September 22nd, 2024. And I have a question here from Christina, who is unable to join us today, but really good questions. So I shall start with that. Christina is a cash flow kitten, and these questions are related to her current freelance gigs and not her new side biz. So she's doing some freelancing as well as building up another side business. So she has an ongoing client. And back in June, she's on a monthly retainer with this client. And back in June, the rate dropped from $2,200 a month to $1,200 a month. So $1,000 less. They asked her to sign a contract after having conversations about the money change. And they wanted her to start invoicing at the end of the month instead of the middle of the month. And before, she was pre-billing. So they paid her on the first of the month, and they paid her within a couple of days. It took 5 to 7 days for the check to reach her via snail mail. So, for example, the invoice that she would send to her client for July, she would send that invoice ahead of time around June 15th. And so she would get her money around the first of the month. And that's how she would then plan for her monthly stuff. So when I signed the contract, I thought I'd read it thoroughly, but I missed the last page. And it was after the signature page where they said that she could no longer pre-bill them, which means that she has to wait until after the month's work to send her invoice. So instead of getting paid for July at the beginning of July, she'd get paid for July at the end of July, which this shift now throws her off in the way that she's been managing her money. So she's like, my whole money forecast has been thrown out of whack. And the question is, I'm torn of whether or not I should push back on this. Technically, I signed the contract, and the contract is up at the end of December. So I could just stipulate in the new contract when we renegotiate that I have to pre-bill. What do I? Th And she's like, "What should I do? Should I just let it go? Should I just wait till my contract is up and then do that? I don't want to seem too high maintenance or like an idiot for missing the last page in the contract." So what's interesting about this question, and I'm glad she's asking it in the context of should I broach this issue rather than can I? Because of course you can. You can broach any issue in your business. You just have to know where you stand when you're broaching an issue, what your leverage is when you broach the issue, what the consequences might be if you broach the issue. And once you kind of are aware of all those things, then you can decide if you want to or not. So, Christina, I'm glad it's a question of shouldn't I versus can I? So, should you, shouldn't you? The first thing that I would say is, what would your thoughts be if you put yourself in their shoes? If you gave your client a contract and they didn't read it thoroughly and then came back to you after signing it and wanted to change some stuff. So that's just one thing to think about. The leverage, it seems to me you don't want to lose this client, you know? And since the contract is up at the end of December, and since it was technically on you that you didn't go through the entire contract, although I'm wondering why that portion of the contract was written after the signature. That's a little weird, unless it was like an addendum to the contract. Those are usually after the signature page. But that's kind of neither here nor there now. And since it's not like this mistake is going to cost you money, it's just that it's thrown off your forecasting and you'll have to kind of reforecast. And I'm assuming that once you get everything aligned to where you're billing in the way they want you to bill, it's almost neither here nor there if you switch back to the pre-billing, because once your forecast is aligned again, then you can just go on your merry way with this. So my initial thoughts are I would wait until December, and then if you feel that it really is an irritant or something that really kind of messes up with your money, then I'd renegotiate to see if they will allow you to pre-bill as before. Because it's only 4 months, it was technically your mistake. So those are my initial thoughts on that question. Kate, do you have any? I'm just running it by you. Do you have any
I
thoughts on
do.
that? Okay.
I think I'm not a lawyer, but I grew up in a household of lawyers. I think that putting something after the signature without identifying in the body of the contract, this includes addendum A, B, or C, or without having an initial place on the addendum, it makes it actually invalid. So I don't want her, I'm not suggesting that she argue that point. I'm just saying, in terms of context, they didn't execute the contract properly. But yeah, I mean, I think really it sounds to me like the essence of the question is, I have a month that I need to bridge, and how do I bridge that? And I think most people don't pre-bill. Most people bill at the end of their work and then take 2 weeks to 30 days to get paid. So that's pretty standard. So my thinking is it might be more productive to use her energy to figure out how to bridge that month. Is there a loan that can be achieved, or a side hustle or savings, and just keep things running smoothly, unless there are other issues with the client.
Yes, I co-sign everything Kate just said. Okay, second question. Second client, different client. I'm doing hourly production work for $50 an hour. We have a long history. This is her and her friend. And Christina used to work for her friend's company, and now she's working for her on a project-by-project basis. And Christina says, I have a tendency to play small with her because it's hard for me to ask for money from people I have a relationship with. In short, I need to talk about my pay on an upcoming shoot in November. So, for context, we had another shoot for Michelle's documentary back in April. The director of photography's day rate was $650, and I told Michelle that I also wanted the same day rate, even though my hourly is $50 an hour. The DP stood her ground with it and kind of gave me this confidence to do the same. So she saw the DP being like, nope, that's my day rate. That's what I'm doing. And Christina was like, yeah, okay, I want the same thing. But having that day rate really made me not be resentful that the days were long and I never really got downtime. We stayed at Michelle's house, so even when we were off the clock, we were still discussing the shoot. Who knows? I may have made more money if I did the hourly, but just knowing that I was taken care of regardless made me feel valued having that day rate. It's also the standard to do a day rate on shoots. Now, since that, the director of photography was let go. And now my friend Michelle assumes that I won't need to work for the same day rate. I don't want to be annoying, but I feel like the day rate is fair and production days are long. So how do I approach this? Also, she didn't clear the dates with me for the November shoot, and I have some conflicts. There are two screenings for a short that I've directed on two of the shoot days. So now I don't feel like I should get my same day rate if I'm not working a full day. So how do I handle that? Like, do I do hourly on those days, day rate on the other days? And does it undermine my request to stick to the day rate? My request to stick to a day rate, is it weird if I come back and go, well, there's 2 days I can't do the full day, so can I do $50 an hour on those days? Blah, blah, blah. I feel bad because she's self-funding this project, but it is also clear that the people who have just asked for their rate have not only gotten it, but she respected it. For example, she hired hair and makeup for $800 for a day rate of 10 hours. And she didn't bat an eye, and she way overspent on the food for our last shoot, like $2,000, because she just likes getting fancier food, which is totally her right to do. But I feel a little undervalued that she just expects me to waive a day rate. How do I approach her? Such a good question. Well, certainly, anyone who's self-funding projects, they're definitely going to look at where they can cut costs and cut corners. And one of the places people look are at their friends because they have a relationship with them and they're trying to pull in favors and that kind of thing. So it is difficult. It adds an extra layer when you have a friendship relationship with someone and you're also engaged with business with them. But those are two separate things. And it's the assumption that Michelle made that, oh, well, you don't have to work, you don't have to have a day rate anymore because that person is off the shoot and their day rate is different, blah, blah, blah. And that she didn't clear the dates with you in advance. It's not her job to be clear with you and your money. It is always your job to respect the relationship you have with money enough and get very, very, very clear. So, because you have a friendship with her, there doesn't need to be any resentment about, like, oh, she didn't clear the dates with me and oh, she wants to save money on me. It's like, yeah, of course she does. Of course she does. And she's just rolling along, making some assumptions because of the friendship. So now it's just your job to be like, okay, there's some clarity that we need to set in place, probably set in writing before I agree to engage in the November project. So there's no like one way to do it. If you have a day rate, because sometimes I've worked on projects as an organizer where I build it as a day rate, and then I would just do a half day if it was a half day. If it was like this many hours or less, I got the half of the day rate. So that's something that can be negotiated, or it could be, these 2 days I have conflicts, and on those days, we'll just bill me at $50 an hour for as many hours as I work. That's okay. It's just another way to do it. And I don't think making those ex like shifting the way you get paid for those 2 days, I don't think it like undermines your professionalism of asking for a day rate, that sort of thing. I think it's just a good solution so that she can have your work for half a day and then you can get off and do the other things. And it's kind of clear and cut and dried and easy. It's easy accounting. It's not complicated. Again, though, this is a conversation you have to have. Unlike the first question where it's like you don't necessarily have to have a conversation. This is a conversation you have to have because there needs to be some clarity put in place. So I would basically get clear on the dates, say I'd like a day rate for this project as well. And then on these 2 days, we'll just bill however many hours at $50 an hour. The question is if she says no to the day rate, then what are you going to do? Make that decision in advance. If she says nope, it's going to be an hourly rate of $50 an hour. Okay, you can either take it or leave it. But she has the right, she could say no. But I feel like making yourself smaller or not dealing with money because you don't want to upset her, that's really not going to work in the long run. She needs to feel good working with you. You need to feel good working with her. And if you guys can't reach an agreement where you both feel clear and good, then it's probably not good that you work together. That's my thought on that. So make your decisions in advance and then go to her and have the conversations. And then see what she says. That's basically all that's in your control, if we're going to use the word control. That's all the influence you have in this situation. But it is a really good way to build your muscles around negotiating when there is a friendship that comes first. And she's just trying to get a project made. And if you'll work for $35 an hour, she'll take it, even though the hair and makeup person's working for 800 because she doesn't have a relationship with them and she needs them, but she has a relationship with you. So, there's no way to resent someone to try to get what they want to get. Like, that's okay. Everybody can try to get what they want to get, but you don't have to settle for it. And that's how everything stays nice and equal, really. And Christina, you also said that you are up for a new ghostwriting gig. And instead of giving them your old rate of $50, you said $100. And it didn't scare them off. Yes. So you are getting stronger. And these two questions are just two additional ways for you to continue building those muscles. So thank you for your question. Sorry you couldn't be here. Thank you, Kate, for that input. And is Teo, you're here.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how do you pronounce your beautiful name? Temi Teo.
It's Tayo. Oh wow, I guess I'm on my like full
Yeah.
my full name is my name. Sorry, I'm in
No,
transit right now. That's why I'm off video.
it's beautiful. Is it okay time to talk? Yeah, okay, good. All right, so you create marketing materials, videos, and flyers for small to mid tech companies, and you kind of have the Sapello ad agency. Am I pronouncing that right? Sapello.
Yes.
Yeah. Your Cashflow Cat. Sweet. Your Victory. You're doing a great job for your client. You've made a video, you've made a flyer for them, and you're working on the next video and flyer for them, and they're pleased with your work and they want to put you on your retainer for the remaining videos. Congratulations. That's exciting. Okay, you have two questions. The first one, I'm going to take this one first. I'm debating whether I should focus on this side business of doing the videos and the flyers and the marketing, or finding another full-time job. I'm fortunate that I have some financial runway from a pilot that you were paid for. Congratulations, by the way. And you want to use this time to build wisely. So, what are your thoughts about growing this side business versus finding another full-time job?
Yeah, I think just historically in the past, whenever I've tried to build like a side hustle, like in the past I've looked into like drop shipping and like e-commerce stuff, like all these like solopreneur kind of things, and I would like sign up for a course and like try to do that, and inevitably what would happen is I would spend most of my time on my creative work that I just didn't have for building a business. And inevitably, what would happen is I would kind of neglect the side business. And like, fortunately, I would get like some sort of breakthrough in my creative work, whether it's like, a directing gig or a writing gig. And so I feel like for this go round, I feel like I just feel like that's kind of a pattern for me, where I feel like I am very entrepreneurial, but I feel like I tend to use that energy towards my creative work, and I feel like it makes more sense to do something that is full time and that I can just like show up and clock in and clock out, that I don't have to think too much about or use my kind of entrepreneurial energy for. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean that is a real consideration when, because building something, you are an entrepreneur over here in the creative side of things, especially if you want to earn money from the creative side of things. And then adding a side business is adding something with very similar things you have to do to build it. And you're building kind of two things versus a job where you clock in and clock out. And there's pros and cons about one and pros and cons about the other. So, are you leaning towards, like, what do you feel like your odds are with getting a full-time job? Like, are you leaning towards that or are you leaning away from that? What do you?
Yeah, I think right now I'm leaning towards building my own business only because I feel like I have a network of folks to reach out to already just in my network, especially because the way that I got this client was very much like word of mouth. And I feel like I have some connections already just like personally through college and other, thing people in my life that I can start with. And yeah, I just don't know what sort of full-time job I would get right now. I mean, I teach part-time, so that's great, but it's not enough. So yeah, I think building a side business is what I'm leaning towards. I'm just like nervous about how I would try to build something in the past and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, of course. So for everybody, like when you are kind of in this thing of like, oh, should I get like a job or should I build something on my own? You can, and if you're leaning towards building something of your own, you can always say, all right, well, I'm going to give this the best of my ability for 6 months and then reevaluate and see where I am. So it doesn't have to be like, I have to make this monumental decision forever right now. It's like, okay, well, let's see if with the help of cash flow and the things you're learning in Abundance Bound, you can actually approach a side business differently and have different results than in the past. And you can like do it and then in 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, reevaluate and see if you know what the whole job thing might just be easier. Is
Yeah.
that something that's kind of like how you'd like to go?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Yeah, I think as I was thinking about the end of this year, I'm like, okay, let me, what can I build this year? And I feel like just evaluating at the end of this year and just seeing like, okay, like let's see how it goes, especially because I feel like I'm grateful that I have this one client that is contracting me for a number of project. So I'm like, okay, at least I have one client that guarantees like this level of income for the foreseeable future. So like, let's lean on that.
Okay, fantastic. So then let's talk about your second question, which is how do I find more clients? The first client you're working with now is a friend, and they shared with me the problem they're having. And I'm wondering if I should like continue to spread my services through word of mouth or work on making a website and building out my client list through ads or marketing. Just sort of what should I do to get more clients? So tell
Yes.
me a little bit more about what exactly you're doing for them. What problem are you solving?
Yeah, so they are a small, I would say medium-sized tech company that makes sensors for machines. So it's very like tech heavy, and they were wanting someone who was non-technical to make marketing videos for them for conferences. So, and that also expanded to flyers. So they were essentially looking for someone to help them create marketing materials for their conferences to get more clients for their products. So the first video I made was like a 3 minute video with voiceover and stock video. Ideally, I would have it be like a live action video, but the budget was quite low. So I just used stock video that was cleared for like, online usage. It's not going to be used for broadcast or anything larger than that. And so in terms of the services, like I made like a one pager flyer that essentially is like helping companies create their messaging through short informational videos and marketing flyers.
Okay, so everybody listen up because this is a really good example. Okay, your client is not buying a video from you and a flyer. They don't want a video and a flyer. They want the results that having a snappy, clear, easily digestible video will get them. The video is the means to the end. So, what are your clients hoping that having this video and your flyer will do for them? It will what? Catch people's eye, communicate clearly. Like what does it, what do they gain from having it?
Taking interested vendors, like people in their space, which is basically civil engineers and product or machine vendors, like people who work at airplanes or rotorcraft companies. People who are on the business and marketing side, and basically create a video communicating to them what their very technical product does. So I think they were very interested not only in my filmmaking background, but the fact that I'm a non-technical person. And so they were like, we are a group of mostly engineers. We're trying to create products or create marketing language or materials that essentially translates very technical language into more quotidianal language that the layperson would understand, like a business person would understand, so they would purchase their products.
Okay. I help you explain your awesome, highly technical product. I help explain that in layperson's language to your ideal customers.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's what you do. So
Mm.
that's what you do. Oh, I help tech companies with awesome products that are like highly technical. I help them explain exactly what their awesome product does in clear, simple language to their ideal clients, customers. Oh, how do you do that? Oh, I make videos and flyers.
Oh, okay.
You see, they are only paying you for because they need somebody who can do that. And then the just happens to be in the form of a video and a flyer. So the sizzle of the marketing, and marketing is just another word for communication and education. You're educating people on what you do, but with the sizzle language. The stake is, well, I happen to do it by making videos and I happen to do it by making flyers. Like, who cares? Can you do the sizzle part for me? Can you solve my problem? Oh, yeah, I can take the most technical, awesome thing that nobody knows what it is and totally explain what it is and show people why they need it. Oh, okay, great. That's we need somebody to do that for us because we know why it's awesome, but our customers, and that's a great marketing line for you. You know your widget is awesome, but do your customers really understand how awesome it is? I can help them see that. Oh my God. Okay, what do you do? Oh, I make videos, I do this, like whatever you need. Okay, that's talking with the sizzle. So now what's interesting is you're like, okay, so we know that tech companies who go to these conferences where there's like a sea of potential clients, but it's like, ugh, when they get somebody interested, they need them to then read the flyer or watch the video because what's coming out of the tech person's mouth is not going to be great. Or you're there to also help put words into their mouth too. So then, conference materials. I'm sure if they're doing like funding, they need this kind of stuff too to explain it to the VCs. So you want to think of like, okay, these are the different scenarios that your clients might use these, need this kind of ex communication to happen, this explanation to happen. Great. And then you want to ask yourself, who else is out there needing to raise money or needing to go to conferences who have amazing little widgets that need some regular muggle communication going on? So, and if you can reach out to those people and use the people you don't know who the people you already know. You don't know who people know. And your contact list in just your regular life may have leads that you don't even know of. So making sure everybody knows that you can provide this service and solve this problem. And if you can start reaching out and then reaching out beyond just warm leads. And if you feel like you can reach out to enough people to get a couple more of these clients to make this, to make your cash flow the amount that you need to supplement your teaching. So does that all make sense so far, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think my question is, and this is really helpful, by the way, and shout out to whoever's doing the notes on the chat. Kate, thank you. But I guess my question is how best to communicate what I do to my contact list. Is it direct emails? Should I do a newsletter? Like, I already have a newsletter, but I haven't really sent a newsletter in a while. Yeah, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
So who you have a mailing list already? And
Yeah, it's mainly just family and friends.
okay.
But some of those friends, like, for example, when I was working on one video for the client, I hit up 10 of my friends who work on the business side of things, in tech companies, like just to give feedback. And one of them was like, "Oh, I didn't know you did this as a service. We should talk." Like, she works a lot with startups.
Yeah.
So like I have to follow up with her, but then I'm like, okay, how that was a good way to like let people know, like, hey, like this is what I'm up to, this is what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think an email that just says, hey, I bet you don't know I do this. So I wanted to let you know that I do this. And if you have anybody or you know anybody who might need this, I would love to be connected to them. Here's what I do. I work with tech companies that make sensors that do that, like give some examples. They have these amazing things they've invented, but they can get caught up trying to describe what they do in a very technical way. And their clients don't, their clients aren't getting it. Or these companies need clear, efficient, like not the word attractive, but like eye-catching, ear-catching, something that catches
Compelling.
people's attention. They need this kind of communication, but because they're techies, they don't always know how to do it. But I'm a techie translator. I'm so good at taking this complicated language and putting it into a format that their ideal customers can digest and understand and digest. And I do it in videos, I can do flyers or pitch decks or whatever they need. So I would just explain, like, hey, I do this thing. You probably don't know I do it. If you know anybody who might use it or who might need it, great. Here's what it is. And all you need is a little one page. You could just use a free about.me, just someplace where you can give people a link that they can share with other people that goes to some page on the web, on the internet that is like, here's what I do. Here's how to contact me. And you can show examples if you have examples. And you can include in the email links to examples of what you've done for clients. And I think that to your friends and family and colleagues, just an explainer email, not too long. And another way to make an email shorter when you actually do have to give them quite a bit of information is you just do the little, hey, I wanted to let you know that I do this thing in case you have it. Thanks so much for your help. All the information is below, and then your email signature, and then you have all the email. So when they open the email, it looks like it's a really short message, and so they'll read it. And then that message directs them down to the volume of material you need to include. That's how I like to break that up. So it doesn't just look like, oh my God, this email is going to take me an hour to go through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I already have a website for like my personal directing work. But I think it'll make more sense to just do like a simple landing page website with just like a clean overview of what I offer.
Yeah, and you could just create a page on your website. Like you already have your website. So you can create just a separate page on your website
Yeah,
that's,
I think that'd be better, actually. You're right.
yeah, don't list it in the navigation if you don't want to. And then just buy a separate URL that will direct people to that page or not, or just use your, is your website your name?
Yeah, it's just my name. Yeah.
It could just be your name slash and then the name of your studio or your ad agency or just your name slash Sapello and just give that link out. That's
Yeah.
use your current infrastructure so you don't have to like set up something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a one page thing. That's what I do. Here's how to contact me. Here's some samples. If you have a testimonial or two, it's
Yeah,
great.
I'm working on getting a testimonial from my current client. So I know they'll do it. I just have to push them a bit.
And what's really important is like, here's the problem I solve. And when that problem is solved, when your potential clients understand the amazingness of your product, sales increase. The sales process goes faster, like the benefits. You have this video that it's easy to send it out. Your sales team doesn't have to keep explaining it because they've got the video and they've got assets that do the explaining for them. So it's easier. So sales are faster, easier, more. And that you're then speaking their language. Oh, so if I give her money, this will happen in my business. And that's the problem we have right now. And then you also want to say, and these materials, these assets that I can build for you, they're great for conferences. They're great for that. Like you tell them. So they don't have to think of the idea. We think that someone reading our marketing material is in their brain applying it to their business. No, they're not. They're just reading words. You have to feed them. Oh, I could use it for this, or oh, I could use it for that. Oh, yeah, that company used it for that. Great. You just feed them all the ideas and you paint the picture. You have a problem. This will solve it, and this will be the result of having it solved. And I can do it for you. So
Yeah.
that is what that is all you're doing for the next rest of the year with this. You're sending out that email to your friends and your family. You're building that little one page on your website. And then after you're done sending out to your friends and your family and your colleagues, then it's like, where else are a bunch of these tech people? Well, the next place I would look into are those incubators. You know what an incubator is? Like Y Combinator and these places that kind of sponsor a development of the, yeah, those they are starting from the ground floor. They need someone cheap and they need these assets because they don't have them yet. So I would start there and go, hey, let me introduce myself to the people who run the thing. Because then you have to introduce yourself to a small group of people that know a lot. And they become your funnel people. They allow you access to their people. And that's just off the top of my head. So you want to be looking at like, where else? Who's going to these conferences? Who else is going to these conferences? And do they have like organizations? You know, like the DGA has its organization. So, what are these people's organizations that maybe you could get in and have your materials distributed through? And then you just get as many clients as you need. Sound good?
I think that's good. And I think what's helpful is just that language of like, this is the problem I solve. This is the solution. And then I'll try to get specific numbers from my current client in terms of their sales. Because I know that the video was like spotlighted on a trade publication that they market their products on. So yeah, just getting some numbers from them could also strengthen that side of the results.
And another thing to do that might be very useful, the best marketing copy comes from usually the mouths of your clients. So like you could ask them like, why did you even hire, what were you even looking for somebody to do this for you? Like, what were you feeling that this wasn't solved? Oh my God, it was so frustrating. Or like they'll start telling you the story of why they then eventually gave you money to solve this problem. And then you can use their phrasing in your marketing. Are you feeling like this? Burr. Well, you know, that's how my clients usually feel before they hire me. This is how they feel after. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so that's another way to do it. Good, good, good. All right.
Good.
So
Thank you.
come back if you have more questions, Tayo. Like, come back and we can continue the conversation at the next phase of this.
Yeah.
Good, really good. Awesome. Cora, are you here?
I am here. I'm going to have to chat with you similar way just because I'm at work setting up
No
for
worries.
when we open. So I'm doing a little trickaroo. So yeah, I'm here and I'm listening and I appreciate you. And also to Teo, please come to the LA Tech Happy Hour on the East Side. We'd love to have you. You'd be great for us. So I put that link in our next monthly
Yeah, thank you so
hangout.
much. I'll definitely try to make it.
Yeah, that you're a perfect fit for a lot of the people there. So.
Oh my gosh, Cora. So you implemented the things we talked about for your
Yes.
tech happy hour, and you got some good responses, and you have three leads. That was the point. That's
You
great.
see three count for the Tori Vinave.
Say that again. Say that again.
Nothing. Yeah, that's all that's what happened. Yeah, I'm excited. So
That's awesome.
hopefully they, turn into work.
Yes. So then your question was, okay, now what else do I do? Do I continue with the cash flow course? Do I, start working on my website? You have 10 hours a week that you can dedicate to growing this side business. So here's how I would divide it up. I would do, it might not take you a full hour, but I would do 1 hour of a business meeting with yourself or with an accountability partner if you want to go that way, but you can just do it with yourself. 1 hour where you sit down, you can use my weekly planning chart, which is you, there's a link to cash flow, inside cash flow, or Kate might send the link in this chat. But sitting down and going, okay, what do I want to do for my side business this week? And when might I think I will do those things, like the to-dos for the week for your business, getting very clear, making all of those decisions ahead of time. And then looking out at your week and going, when can I fit that in? So I would do a business meeting. It won't take you more than an hour. When you get good at getting the flow of it, they'll likely take you 20, maybe 30 minutes. This, so an hour for that, an hour per week on the course, just going through it. Doesn't have to be speedy, just go through the course. And if your business meeting takes less than an hour, then just do a little more time on the course. So maybe it's 30 minutes for the business meeting, 90 minutes for the course. So that's 2 hours of your week. I would spend 4 hours of your week on infrastructure building, so your website. 4 hours of thinking about it, researching, working on it, writing copy for it, having other people look at it, like whatever needs to happen. And I would do 3 hours on marketing. Outreach, outreach, outreach. Who needs to know that I can do this for them? Very much what we just spoke about with Tayo, which is just sort of like getting clear on the problem that you solve and how it's great if people hire you and how their business will change if they hire you, all that good stuff. So if you add up those times, you'll see that's only 9 hours. Business meeting, doing the cash flow course, 4 hours on infrastructure, 3 hours on marketing. Then you have just an extra hour to put towards wherever. Or if you get in the flow on working on the website, you can go towards that. And then when you complete the cash flow course, then you get to put that hour towards marketing. And when you complete the website project, you can put those hours towards marketing. And eventually, as you get more clients, some of those 10 hours will start to be billable hours that you're actually doing work for the client that you're getting paid for. And then it'll just be billable work, a business meeting, and mostly marketing to get more clients. So, how does that sound? Did I lose you?
Sounds no, I'm here. I'm here. Sorry. Got to unmute each time. It all
Okay.
sounds so great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, and you make it seem sound and seem so simple, and I appreciate that, like simplifying it, and thank you.
Yeah. And actually, the most important thing is the business meeting with yourself
Yeah.
because it just refreshes your brain. Every week, you see where you're at, what you've got going, and it just
Yeah.
will make you feel calm.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that regular meeting
Yeah.
for your business, you just keep taking your emotional temperature. Well, it feels
Right.
kind of good or it feels kind of bad. And then, but that might not actually be true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're such a great implementer. Congratulations on doing an event that, in a way, that got such good feedback for you.
Yeah.
I read everything you wrote in your in your question, and I was just so excited.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm very excited too.
Awesome. Okay. Lydia, what's up?
Hello. Hi, this is our new baby. She's
Oh.
15 weeks. Her name's Peridot.
Oh.
She'll be joining. But
Welcome.
she's sleepy. She had puppy class, so she should be chill. There's three questions, but they honestly all kind of come together. So background, I got that recurring gig that my friend recommended.
The one
My
that you were hesitant
yep.
about, actually, Liddy.
I
What
did. I got
did
it. And it's been, it's like serialized audiobooks, and I'm having a blast. And there's been like 400,000 people who've listened to my voice, and there's lots of great compliments, and it's great. I'm having a blast. It's silly. The writing is like hilarious, but you know what? They're paying me to do what I love. Where the issue came in when I got hired, it was for like 10 hours of audio per week minimum.
of
And
finished audio.
then on their end, they have not met that amount of writing. So what this job would have given me would have basically covered like 95% of my expenses. Now Miata and I in a private did the math. It's covering roughly about 40. So Miata gave me the suggestion to reach out and ask for a second show, which I did. And when they first hired me, they were really interested in that. And when I reached out, the guy said, which I found out from my friend who was the writer at the company, he got laid off because the company is just like, they're a tech company that's really disorganized. So he was like, the HR person who brought me on said, "We're not letting people do two shows, but you're one of the best. So if they do let me give someone, it will be you. But I'm not counting on the fact that I can
Yeah.
get that second show." So there's two points of overwhelm. One, I know, I love you very much. I know, thank you. You helped me with the overwhelm. One set of overwhelm is like which direction to go with my energy. So I can either, like, because I'm doing serialized audiobooks, I never thought I'd do audiobooks, but I mean, I have 300 episodes worth of audio to pick from and like try that and see if I can get some audiobook work. We've talked about corporate narration, and I worked on a demo, and I've even had a couple clients through that. So I could do direct marketing. Or my parents very sweetly, when I was very depressed after losing my previous dog, they were like, "How can we help you in your career? We'll pay for a voiceover like jobs website." So there's this VO company website that I booked a couple jobs off of, but it's very like you must master the algorithm to be someone who. So there's that. And I just recorded my animation and video game demo. And so, like, I could direct market that when that's done. There's also commercial VO direct marketing. So there's a lot of different ways. In addition to the audio I am turning over and the weeks that I do have from my various agents, like a good amount of work, which isn't every week. So I'm trying to like put that thought of like, but what if to the side? And I could make a lot of progress on each of these things if I really sat down and did them, but I think I'm getting overwhelmed by the idea of all the ways I could go. So that's one set of overwhelm. And then the other one, so I've been telling myself I did the corporate narration demo. I spent the time, market. And I'm getting really overwhelmed because in the VO space, there's a lot of people who are talking about VO marketing, and it's like a 10-step, 20-step process to figure out who the clients are, what you say to them, all the different things. And I'm just finding myself like getting really, again, overwhelmed by how complicated that whole process is getting. So I'm not sending that many. And then, yeah, just feeling discouraged. But really, it's because I haven't sent that many. I know. I know. It's crazy. Thank you. Yes. I gotta pay for your kibble.
Are you telling me that you know the steps for the corporate marketing? You just haven't done them because they're like 10 to 20. Okay, but you know, like you know how to do that if you.
Yeah, it, yeah.
Okay. So audiobooks, like through ACX, right? Audiobooks, corporate narration, animation, video games, commercials. Yeah, what appeals to you the most?
I mean, obviously animation and video games.
Okay.
I really love, I know people talk about that audiobooks are overwhelming, just how long you're in the booth, but I'm doing that for this serialized company and I enjoy it. So probably that next, then commercials, and then last would be corporate.
Okay. And you have agents, right? LA agents,
I
like.
have an LA on camera agent and a San Francisco VO agent.
Okay, and do you like your San Francisco VO agent?
I do. I booked my first job through them last month.
Great.
So I was a voice of a toy, which was
Very
fun.
nice. So you feel that they're like hefty enough in the industry that they're competitive and able to get you work versus an LA or New York voiceover agent.
They are competitive in their micro market. I
Okay.
don't, they're not competitive for the big ones.
Right. And can you get, you can have
Yes, you can
voiceover roles, you can have
have
more than one, right?
my absolute goal would be to want work with one of the bigs in the VO world. And so working on that.
Yeah. And what have you done so far in the search for an agent in voiceover?
Yeah, so I coached with way at the beginning of this with this one commercial casting director, and she and I formed a really close relationship, and she has like sent my stuff personally to some of the big guys, or she's given me permission to drop her name in emails to them. I've done workshops through various places and met them and then followed up. I have reached out like after various, after booking Bridgerton, after booking, there was like an audio drama podcast, after booking, I don't think I've actually reached out since booking the toy gig, but so like
Yeah,
after each of
great.
those. And then when I get back the final version of my animation and video game demos, re-reaching out with those.
And what has the feedback been, if any, if you've gotten any?
The only feedback I've gotten was from one of the people that Mary Lynn, the commercial casting director, got was that they had too many people of my voice print at the time. Where I struggle, I have a friend who's very, very high in the VO industry. He was on X-Men 97, he's the voice of Disneyland, like crushing it kind of level. And his point is, especially in LA and New York, there's only like 8 to 10 VO agents worth signing with. So, yeah, there's kind of, at least according to him, that's where most of my efforts at that level has been.
Yeah. Okay. I in before we talk about you getting your own work, I just want to be really clear. I wanted to make sure you were doing exactly what you're doing, but I also want to make sure you continue to do
Okay.
exactly what you're doing. Because one day someone's going to leave voiceover, and someone's going to die, or someone's going to lose their voice. God bless them. We're not asking for it. We're
Decide
just
to go
saying,
do a different.
correct. Just, off to another chapter of their life. And you just want to be in the mix. So continue to do exactly what you're doing. Here's my new demo. I just booked this job. I just booked this job. You just keep doing it to those 8 to 10, to the top people, because you're only going to get better at this. Your craft is only going to improve. So the odds are, if you stick around and keep getting better, at some point, you'll probably land one of these top agency. I have a client who lives in like back east, not in a major market. She has her own voiceover company, and she's been self-employed doing this, doing this, doing this, doing this for over a decade. Spanish language, English,
Incredible.
farming out jobs to other voiceover, like an actual company. Just this year, she got signed with CED or whatever that is in New York. Just this year, she's been doing this forever. She knows everyone in voiceover, and it was through a friend who happened to hear that they needed the thing, and then she got signed. So it might take a while, but that's just going to open up a whole other stream of income for her. So it's worth it. That is just this thing that you keep doing, and you say, okay, universe, I'm going to keep letting these people know I exist, and you're in charge of perfect timing of when my stuff gets to the right person. And these companies might hire a new agent who needs to fill out their roster. You have no idea how this is going to go down. But you need to nurture the belief of like, oh, well, that's going to happen one day. Like, it's inevitable. For however long I want it, then it is a legitimate possibility. Okay. So that's over there, you getting a major market agent. So make those lists, keep those lists, send to them. However, I don't care if you're booking work every single week, you can send to them every single week or a monthly recap. So then, what are the odds in the animation video game space of you booking your own work
Video game.
versus having that work come through an agent?
Heard there are some like smaller indie video game studio. I mean, obviously not right now. Let me preface because of the interactive strike. Not right now for that guy.
Right.
But when it is rightfully won, I have heard that indie video games can do direct marketing and have pretty good success.
Great. So, do you have a list of those yet?
I don't know.
Make a list so that you have it ready, so that you can celebrate with them and go, hey, congratulations on the blah, blah, blah. Here's my stuff. So, what I think, in terms of you having the best odds of agency over getting your own work that actually pays you money, is audiobooks. The fact that you can deliver finished minutes is fantastic. You have the ACX platform, but you can also work connections to people at the actual, like, Audible and the publishing houses, and that's the long game. ACX is a shorter game. And it's really asking yourself, what kind of books is my voice perfect for? And then who's writing those books too? Because you can also, and maybe you're looking back and going, are there series that aren't on audio yet that the author might be able to put, like, want to put on? Who knows? But I think the audiobooks is where you can make up the 60% of the income the fastest. And then You're going to keep submitting to the agencies. You're going to get that list of any kind of smaller video game, animation, whatevers. And then you're just going to do that.
Okay.
And that's it. I keep submitting to agencies. I keep submitting to the video game thing when that's available. And then I figure out ACX and figure out in the audiobook world, where are the marketing avenues that I can target? How could I get jobs? I can get jobs from the platform. I can get jobs from connections to authors. I can get jobs through connections to publishers and production houses. And then that's it. And you keep doing that until something to so that you can create traction and then momentum, or suddenly something changes where you don't need to do it at all.
Okay, that
Yeah.
sounds
Does
so
that kind of narrow it down?
yes.
Because, yeah, there's money in the corporate thing too, but if you don't like doing it, then it's just like, I don't want to do it.
It's interesting, you know, how a lot of people talk about feeling about audiobooks being long and tiring and boring. That's how I feel with a 2 minute corporate video versus 2 hours in audiobooks.
Yeah, because we're all different. That's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
Life's too short to be like, oh, I have to do this. But what's great about having the demo is that if, you know, once you get a big agent, they'll want all the demos, and that's great. And then you always have it in case somebody goes, hey, can you do this? And you're like, yeah.
Well, and it's what got me my San Francisco VO agent because I noticed, you know, all the people that he had signed from a workshop I did all had corporate demos, and I was just finishing mine up, and he didn't write back to me the first time I wrote, but when I had the corporate demo, he did. So it already paid for itself from the job that I booked, just kind of
Perfect.
like tangent, like
Yeah.
down the road.
Oh, sometimes you don't know why, you don't know how something you do is going to pay off. That has happened so many times in my life where it's like, oh, I guess that's what that was for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Lydia.
Thank you
Okay,
so
I have a
much.
question for you.
Oh, yeah.
When we had talked before, you're like, oh, my friend told me about this job opportunity and I am not doing it. I'm not following up on this golden ticket that has been handed to me, and I'm not redeeming the golden ticket. So my question to you is, how did you get yourself to then redeem the golden ticket?
Your suggestion to use ChatGPT.
How did you do it? You
Yeah.
weren't doing it, and then you did it. So what
Your
changed?
suggestion to use ChatGPT to write the scripts,
Oh.
it took all the pressure of the thing that I hated, which was writing. I don't like writing, and made it smaller and made it something that was no longer on my plate. So then it was all the fun bits that I felt good about doing. And then there was a second opportunity that was also one of the ones that had like fallen in my lap, and I still wasn't doing it. And then it turned out I re-reached out to my other friend about that. Turned out the company was super sketchy. And it was my gut. And that's why I wasn't doing that one. But the one that ended up being good, it was making it smaller and delegating the tasks I did not like.
And what do you mean by writing the scripts? What were you
Oh,
asking
I
to?
didn't have an animation demo at the time or a character
Oh,
demo,
right. That's
and they
right.
wanted examples of that kind of work. What was
Yeah.
funny is as soon as I turned that in, again, the company's really disorganized. After I turned it in, we like started negotiations, and they're like, "Oh shit, sorry. We're actually now using our scripts to test people's skills. So redo it." But whatever. It ended up being fine.
I get it. Great. Well, I'm glad that helped, and I'm glad you got it. That's
So
very.
helpful. I'm really grateful, and my plans to come much more often to this because I always walk away feeling so empowered, even
Okay.
when I'm listening.
We'll bring your mascot.
Yes,
Totally.
she's so ready. She believes in abundance and making money.
Okay. Well, then she fits right in.
Thank
Thank you. Really good to see you.
you. Good to see you. I know. I know you're.
Else we have time? Or do we feel complete? Let us know. Yes, Trisha,
Hi. I debated whether or not to put my hand up because I feel such a lack of motivation again. But I just thought I would just talk out loud with some things that are brewing in my life. One thing that's materialized that's been kind of lovely is that the Barrow Group where I teach class, one of the guys that works there, who's kind of in charge of the blog, was saying, "Would you write this month's blog post?" And I really enjoy writing. And he said, "You know, I can brainstorm some topics for you." And I said, "Yeah, I'd love a brainstorm." So he sent me like five different topics. And I took the first one, I wrote the blog, and I sent it to him. And he was like, "Amazing. You'll get $50 for this. And if you want to just keep going down the list, writing these, we'll give you $50 for each one." So I'm like, "Great, I'll just give myself that assignment," because to me it marries life coaching with acting. Like I'm basically talking to actors about how to jumpstart, how to make things small, how to stay consistent, all that stuff, all the things I need to hear. So that was one sort of nice little gift that showed
A
up.
huge victory. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. I took a casting director workshop back like 3 or 4 months ago, and at the end, like the last class was just a one-on-one with her in the room, and I really couldn't judge like what she thought of my work for most of the thing. And at the end, she was like, "You don't even need to be here." She was like, "Your work's great," but she's like, "I want to teach a class with you," and I was like, "You want to teach a class with me?" And she was like, "Yeah. So I know you're a coach. I heard that. So like, what?" So I have not followed up on that at all. At first, I had said to her, like, maybe we can do it together at the Barrow Group, but the Barrow Group does not pay an abundant rate hourly. They teach like they have like a teaching artist rate. She works at one-on-one. Her class costs a lot, so I'm expecting that her hourly rate there is pretty good. So I think I would like to suggest that if I teach a class with her, is it possible for me to come into one-on-one and do it there with you? I just didn't know how much of an idea I should come in with. Like, this is what I would like to teach in your class. I don't know what her idea was. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, you could always, say, ever since you've mentioned this, oh, I've been like, it's been brewing in my head. Here are some ideas I had, but I'm totally open if you had something in mind.
Great.
Let's talk.
Okay.
And then just give her your ideas.
So, do you think it would be okay to just take part of the class that I'm teaching at the Barrow Group and just like reword it and offer
Yeah.
it? Okay, great. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Do you think I should mention money at all to her?
Maybe not at the idea stage,
Okay.
because I think the first thing is like, ooh, do we have a good idea for this? And once that's kind of in place, then yeah. Now, is there a way for you to find out how much people like her get paid at 101, like to get the lay of the land a little?
Don't know. Like, I would feel a little weird asking the casting directors that I consider friends, but I would still feel weird being like, "How much do they give you?"
So how much are her classes?
It's like $600 for 6 weeks, and there are like 20 people in there.
So,
one-on-one's getting 2,000 a week
Thank you, Kate.
for that. And then it, what is her cut? What is their cut? And then what part of her cut can you get?
Yeah. And
Or
one
raise the
way,
price.
right. And one way, if you didn't want to raise the price, would be to keep it at 600 for the 6 weeks, but make it 600 for 4 weeks.
Oh, right.
So it's the same price people are used to paying, but it's a shorter amount of time. So you guys are getting more, and then you're, splitting it. So that's probably just keep that idea in your pocket for when you guys start to talk about it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask. Oh, did you have another thing you wanted to say?
Yeah, like so, and then she has like 20 people.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they cap the class size. I think they
Would
do.
you need to? I mean, they have small rooms, so there's that. Would you feel, how many people do you usually teach at Barrow Group?
They cap my class at 16, but that's just because the room is really tiny. I don't feel the need to cap it at anything.
Yeah. So if you were doing a 4 week class, what's the minimum that you would want to walk away with after those 4 weeks? And I mean, how many hours would this class be? 3 hours, 2 hours?
I think it was usually 3 hours, actually, 7 to 10.
So 3 hours for 4 weeks. So 12 hours. So what would be the minimum amount of money that you'd be like, that's cool?
Maybe like $80 an hour.
How much do you get at the Barrow Group?
I get 65, but after taxes, it's 58.
Really? Okay. Well, considering that if you have six, if you have 20 people paying $600, that's $12,000. So what you just said is like 80 something an hour, that gets you like $960 out of 12,000.
Oh, God.
Now I know that one-on-one gets half. Let's just say they get half. So you're still talking about $6,000. So half of half, like 25% would be $3,000 if you had filled all 20 seats. So in this scenario where it's like you don't know how many seats you're going to fill, you want it to be based on a percentage. I want 25%. Now you're not saying this out loud. This is for you to decide what's the minimum amount. I'll be more than happy. You could say 20%. I would be happy if I got 20% of $12,000, which would be $2,400. So if you're happy with $2,400, then in your pocket is like, okay, my minimum is 20%. And then you want to see if you can get it higher than 20%. But as long as you know you're getting 20, you're like, great, that's even more than I thought I was gonna get. Yeah. So I would do idea first with her and see if she, and idea, what's the structure of the class? When would we hold this? How do we fill it? And then talk money. And when you can agree on the money, then you can start marketing it. And whatever you guys decide on the money with one-on-one with everybody, it needs to be in writing. Just a one-page little email. I'm just recapping what we talked about so that we're all on the same page. Boop, ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. So you've created an email trail. You don't necessarily have to do a contract, but you just want everybody to agree that this is what we talked about. and it's a now in writing.
Okay.
And what you want to say is, here's a recap. Just reply to this email as your confirmation of these terms. And then you keep all those emails.
Okay, great.
Sweet.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. The other thing I wanted to ask you was, I have an about.me page or link for my personal training, and I have yet to do anything with it, like reach out to an email list and say, hey, I feel like I'm sort of at a place right now where I need the smallest possible entry into things because my motivation is not high. So my original thing was like, you know, come up with a big plan, a 6 week, 18 week, 20 week, whatever. And now I'm just like, how do I get some more paying clients for personal training? So I don't have testimonials gathered. I don't think that's a huge deal. Like, I think I can get those quickly. But I'm
not.
What's that?
I don't even know if you need them. I don't even know if you need them. I mean, kind of think back to the clients you've, didn't you find a client in an elevator?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling if your motivation is at an ebb, don't worry about the testimonials. Just worry about deciding on what the one package is you're going to offer.
Okay.
So what is it? And I say package just because I think it should just be like, however many sessions at a time. They have to pay you up front for 4 sessions at a time, 3 sessions at a time. And then you can decide whether those have to be used in a certain time frame. A month, 2 months, a quarter. You're like, you can say, I don't care when you use these. Some clients do every so often when they're not traveling. Some clients do every single week. Some people do twice a week. I don't care. I just bill my sessions in packs of 4. Use them whenever you want, so that you're getting a chunk of money up front. Does that sound, does 4 sound good to you?
Yeah, 4 sounds.
It could be doable. 6, it could be 8.
I mean, what I had told the guy
doable.
That I, yeah, the guy
okay.
that I,
and then,
oh, sorry. I told him I do a 6-pack or a 10-pack. And he
no,
was like,
say, the,
what's that? Oh, sorry. I think my internet.
Oh, I didn't say anything. What did?
Okay. So he said, what do I save with the 10 pack? And I said, you don't save anything. I said, it's the same price. He was like, all right, great. Okay. Just give me this. I think he bought the 6-pack. So we've had 3 sessions so far.
Yeah. If you don't have a differential in price, just offer a 6-pack or just offer a 10-pack.
Okay.
Just offer one thing if there's no price differential, because then you don't have to have that weird little conversation you just had. So do you want to offer 4 packs or 6 packs?
Let's say 6-pack, because I would like them ideally to train 2 times a week, and that might encourage them.
Yeah. And how much is that?
Okay. So what I told the guy in the elevator, because he lives on Fifth Avenue, they were $180 per session.
Has he had any so far?
He's had 3 sessions already. Yeah.
Is he happy with you?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, you really know what you're talking about. He's like a real New Yorker. You.
Yeah. You really know what you're talking about. You're worth $180. Okay, that's cool. You could just make it easy and have it $2,000.
For a 6-pack?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
instead of 1,080,
Right.
because that includes like taxes. Yeah, I do six pack for $2,000. They can break that down and do the math if they would like to do the math. You don't do the math. You just say I do packages of six sessions, $2,000 per package. Wait, no. Let me. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say $2,000. I meant to say $1,200. That's like 330 per
Oh.
session. Yeah. Okay. That's what I meant to do. Let me do this. Okay. Math. Yeah. So $200 session times six, $1,200. It's just easier. It's an easier number for people to just. Oh, $1,200. Okay, for six sessions. Great. And then you're making $120 more, which is basically taxes.
Right.
So now you're getting the full amount at the amount that you were happy at, 180. Okay. Yeah. So that's all. If you want to put that on your about.me page, that's it. It's like, I'm really great at this. This is what I offer. This is clients like why you? If you're looking for an experienced trainer with an abundance of empathy or whatever it is that people love working with you because of you. And we've talked about this before, but your little differential, you know? Just put that on there. And then you can slap the price up there with the six packs because that's going to be their last question. It's okay, how much? And if it's up there, then people can just contact you if they're cool with that amount. And then just start telling whoever you'd like to tell. Yeah, but it's one package. Super easy numbers come out of your mouth, six, 1,200. It just makes it easy. And I think I th applaud your instincts at this moment in your life of like, I just really want to not put a big obstacle in my path. Yeah. Kate, did you have something to add?
Yes, hi. I was taking a look at the About Me page, and I just think if you're going to go in there anyway to update these numbers, you might want to take the final paragraph that says, "We'll take the guesswork out of your fitness and get you going and change your identity," up at the top,
Oh, okay.
because that's the benefit they're going to get. And the stuff about you is important, but I think if you start with them first and then do you. It
Great.
just has a little impact. And what you have is perfect. I just switched the order around.
Thank you. I haven't looked at that in so many months that I forgot what I put on there. Thank you
Of
for
course.
taking a look on it.
Sure.
The final paragraph, make it the first paragraph. Great. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah. And Kate, can you read that final paragraph for me?
Oh boy.
I sure can.
Should have had Kate do the math as well. That's why.
But I mean, we're trying to keep things easy, right? Just plug and play for Tricia. So, we'll take the guesswork out of your workouts and build your identity as someone who works out consistently, feels energized and confident, and makes healthy daily choices. Let's do this together.
That's lovely. And hearing that back, is there anything that you is that sort of the is that what your clients want from you? Is that what this elevator client guy wants?
I think mostly it's like the consistency part is the thing I hear the most because there are so many videos now on YouTube, on Instagram. You don't have to pay anybody to do anything, right? But people have a hard time showing up for themselves, holding themselves accountable, setting aside the time. So that's where I come in. I'm on your schedule. I'm coming to meet you so people tend to.
That's what I'd put on the website.
Okay.
Consistency is key.
Yeah.
The hardest part is showing up for yourself and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. I make it easy and enjoyable. I come to you. Blah, 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 blah. That's what I would put.
Okay. Would that be a first paragraph?
Up at the top. Always everybody listening, them first,
Thank you.
then you. No one cares about you or what you're actually going to be doing
Yes.
until they first feel that you care about them and see them and get them. Then they're like, all right, who are you?
Yes. Thank you.
And a lot of, because exactly what you said, but this is for everybody, every service provider, me, Kate, you. All the information is out there. These days, people are buying a vibe. Like, do I like this vibe? Do I want this person on my team? Do I want this person in my corner? How does this person make me feel about me? Or, and then like, it's vibe first, then like, okay, and can they do what? But it's vibe first. And in a service business, the part of that vibe is like, oh, I see you and I understand you and I care about you and I can help you. You.
Okay,
Oh,
great.
and if you want to know about me, like, here's a few things.
Yeah. Is there a way to, because I think a lot of people are kind of embarrassed to entrust themselves. You know, if you're coming in being like, I'm weak, maybe I'm overweight, maybe, you know, and there's a real vulnerability to that. I don't know how to mention that part
Oh, you
without.
can just say what you just said. The things that my clients say again and again is how safe the space feels with me. I've worked with people who have never worked on equipment before, who are feeling uncomfortable in their own skin right now. And I, there's nothing I love more than taking them on a journey in which they feel very comfortable and getting them where they want to go. Melt their heart. Yeah, just like, but that was with my organizing website. It was like, just take the shame away.
Yes.
Just feel comfortable and
Yes.
not overwhelmed and agitated. It was like,
Yes. That's great.
so
Yeah. Then.
those two paragraphs, the first one, and then followed by the vulnerability thing, because that's their next question. Like, oh, she sounds great, but oh.
Yes. Okay.
Because that's a number one. I assume most people who are like, I'm a personal trainer, and like if they've been doing it for a few years, I assume they know what they're doing. And so for me, it's like, I'm not your typical person and I have certain goals. So I want someone who is going to do a program to suit my goals, strength and flexibility, not necessarily what I look like, and then make me not feel bad and stupid and uncoordinated and all the things that I am, weak. And yeah, I want a very safe space. That's the first thing I personally am looking for, where other people are looking for someone to really challenge them and then go to those trainers.
Right.
And that's why it's important. We could all be trainers, every
Yeah.
single person on this call.
Yeah.
But you offer something different than I would offer, than Kate would offer, than Lydia would offer. Like, we all ha will have a different specialty and vibe.
Yes.
It's just communicating that so you get the clients that are like the right.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a challenge to, for me to find like who are those people exactly? Because they've been different sexes, different ages, you know. But I do, yeah. This conversation is helping. Thank you.
I just wanted to pop in and say, I wrote down what Christine said, and I added people who've never worked out before and those who are returning to fitness,
Look it.
which is more
That's
sort of my category,
good. Yeah.
right? I'm a former dancer. I know a lot, but I'm also kind of embarrassed that I haven't been to the gym in quite a while. And, so I want it to be safe, but kind of in a different way
Yeah, that's great.
than what Christine was expressing. So,
Yeah, I'm finding that is actually a large group. of people who come to me are people who were fit at some point or have been physically active or have even worked with a trainer before, but they've been away from it for a while. And so there is that sense of like, oh gosh, yeah, just don't judge me and I can't do what I used to do.
So brilliant, brilliant, Kate. So put all that on the little about.me page.
Okay.
But then this is what I'd lead with. I would send an email out when you feel comfortable to
Yeah.
whomever you know, post it in the Abundance Bound group, whatever, wherever you want to post it, but lead with, I specialize in working with people who are coming back into fitness. Maybe your background is dance, maybe the da-da-da-da. And there's so many different reasons why you stepped away. It could have been illness, it could have been your life went in a different direction, maybe you had some kids, like who knows? Whatever the reason, you don't have to feel shame about it or discomfort about it, because I love working in very safe spaces and helping you bring your body back or bring your body forward, because it's not back, it's
Right.
about forward. That speaks to a very particular segment, because what you want is people to raise their hand and go, oh my God, that's me. She works with me. Like Kate would be like, well, that's me, you know? And then there's lots of Kates out there. There's lots of former athletes. So former athlete, and then you make a list, former athletes, former dancers, former gymnasts, former whatevers. That's my sweet spot. If you know anybody, if that's you or anyone you know, let them know that I work in New York, Manhattan, because you know, people out here know people over there. But
Yep.
now you can build this reputation of like, oh, if when I hear that story, like, hey, like, oh, I used to dance, but I'm looking for somebody to kind of like help me. Oh my God, you have to work with Trisha. She's like, that's what she does. And here's the thing. If people have it in their head that you're good at one specific thing, they think you're good with everything. You will get everybody because they like your vibe. People refer people based on specialty in the beginning, but then once they start to work with you, then they're just starting to refer you on vibe. Like, oh, I bet she could work with my grandma. I bet she could work with it. Then, yeah. So the variety comes, but you got to plant your flag so that people can remember you for something.
Gotcha.
That's a great one because there's a big audience. And it doesn't take a lot of text for them to be like, oh God, she's talking to me.
I love this. I feel very energized by it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes, and this is for everybody, like sometimes we ebb and flow. We're cyclical beings, where our lives are not linear and we are not robots. So things like grief, things like life upheaval, things that are biological, whether it's like your body's just had a child, so it's discombobulated, you're going through perimenopause or menopause. It's like all of those things emotionally, biologically can affect our motivation. And sometimes we feel like we're unmotivated or procrastinating because we actually just don't have a plan that feels good and that fits. But Lydia, like once she has this little plan of like, oh, now I know exactly what to do. In fact, that's kind of the theme of the day today. It's like, what is just your simple little plan? Because once you kind of have that, it actually can make you feel, as you just expressed, like, oh, okay, well, I'm not feeling as like unmotivated. So sometimes the motivation is just because there's not the plan, or the plan is too big or too
Yeah.
long term, or just
Right.
feels like I can't. And then we
Right.
think about motivation. So thank you. That was a perfect way to end today. Thank you, everybody who stayed over. I'll
Thank you.
see you again in, oh my gosh, October. Okay. Onward. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Karen Eileen. Hi, Sheila.
Onward.
Thanks, everybody. Great session.
Thank you,
Bye.
Paige.
See you in
Bye.
October.